Good afternoon. It's actually really a pleasure to be here, not only to be at APHA for the first time making a presentation, but also in a room full of people who are here, I believe, because you're really interested in issues of food and nutrition and HIV. I was just mentioning to a colleague who gave a presentation on this issue in the last session that sometimes when we give presentations on this issue in kind of more general sessions, people don't always really know what to do with the topic. But it's really growing in visibility, and I hope we can really have an interesting conversation afterwards. I look forward to your thoughts. So as Karen said, today I'm going to be presenting on food insecurity, and specifically on the association with sexually transmitted infections and HIV among low-income adults in the United States. And I believe this is the only presentation today that has more to do with HIV prevention than among health outcomes among people living with HIV. Oh, and I definitely want to acknowledge my brilliant co-authors who are listed here. And I have no financial disclosures. I forgot that slide. So food insecurity can be defined as the limited or uncertain ability to access nutritionally adequate or safe foods, or the inability to acquire these foods in a socially acceptable manner. So for example, without having to resort to stealing, perhaps relying on charity, sex exchange, etc. And food insecurity affects a lot of people in the United States, about 18 million households as of 2011. Food insecurity is closely tied, clearly, to socioeconomic status. The inability to afford food is a clear barrier, but it's not synonymous with poverty. So, for example, only about 50% of people under the poverty line are food insecure in the U.S., and food insecurity has been associated with a wide range of negative health outcomes, even after controlling for indicators of socioeconomic status. Food insecurity has been associated and is increasingly very much associated with poor health outcomes among people living with HIV. I won't list all of them now, but both poor health outcomes on treatment and for people not on treatment. However, there's also increasing evidence that food insecurity may be linked to risky sexual behaviors and situations that might really put people at risk for increased HIV acquisition. So some of these are listed here. And just one interesting thing to note is that all of these studies have primarily been done outside of the U.S., or really outside of resource-rich settings. Most are from sub-Saharan Africa. There's one study from Brazil, and only one of those has been conducted in the U.S. among recently incarcerated individuals. There's also a few studies that look at food insecurity and the association with risky sexual behaviors among people living with HIV in the U.S. as well as Canada. So what don't we know? There's really limited population-based studies linking food insecurity with anything sort of related to HIV risk, and none in the U.S. so far. So far what we know is really from community-based and clinical samples. And there's no studies that actually relate food insecurity to prevalent STIs or HIV using objective measures. So really what we know is about behavior, but not whether perhaps that behavior actually translates into increased rates of infection. So our objective was to see whether we could find an association between food insecurity and actual prevalence of HIV and STIs among specifically low-income adults in the U.S. So in order to do this, we took advantage of data from NHANES, which many of you might be already familiar with. It's a nationally representative sample of individuals in the United States. It's a cross-sectional survey repeated over the years, so it's intended to be pooled. And we used data from 1999 to 2010. The thing that was most exciting about this data set for us is not only does it contain extensive food security measures, but it also contains laboratory data, including blood tests. So we were able to get around some of the self-report issues that you encounter when you're talking about HIV risk. So for our outcomes, we had two STI measures and one HIV. Sorry, excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. We had two objective measures. We had one blood test measure for genital herpes, which was a test for HSV2, and then we had HIV serostatus from a blood test as well. And then finally, we had a self-reported measure of STI infection with genital warts, gonorrhea, and/or chlamydia. Our explanatory variable was household food security using the USDA scale. This is a very widely used, validated scale used in the U.S. to measure food security every year. It's the source of that number that I showed earlier, the 18 million. It really captures the three key dimensions of food security, which are insufficient food quantity, but also insufficient food quality, as well as worry and anxiety over food supplies. We controlled for a range of potential confounding factors. They're listed here. That we believe could confound the relationship between food insecurity and HIV and STI risk, which we identified from the literature. And we restricted our analysis to low-income adults, low-income, which we defined as under 300% of the poverty line, adults aged 20 to 49. That was really driven on data availability for all our key variables. And we, in all our analyses, we used the 12-year survey weights and survey commands and STATA to come up with population estimates. So I will turn to results. So after building our sample, we had about 9,109 observations in the data set, representing about 58.5 million Americans. About 44% of those had incomes under 130% of the poverty line, which is the SNAP cutoff, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or food stamps. About 40% were either Black or Latino, and about a third had less than high school education. We see that almost 40% were not food secure, so food insecure, although sometimes the definition of food insecurity, they just use the low and very low categories. There is evidence showing that the people in that marginal category actually look more like food insecure people when you look at health outcomes, so I tend to think of it that way. In terms of prevalence of our main outcomes, because this is a population-based study, again, we're looking at very low prevalence of HIV on a population level, about 0.7%, ranging from 0.4% for women to about 1% for men. Much higher rates of genital herpes, as is to be expected, and also self-reported STIs. And in this case, women had higher rates, as is also expected, based on what we know. When we broke down these prevalences by food security, we see, and these are unadjusted numbers, so we see that for all three outcomes, people who were food insecure had significantly higher rates. So the next three slides I'm going to present are regression results, broken down by men and women as well as shown for the overall population. So starting with genital herpes, we see that in the first column, that all three levels of severity of food insecurity compared to food secure were associated with HSV2 infection. When we break down by men and women, there's slightly different patterning, but overall it's the same story where we see sort of higher odds ratios, higher odds of HSV2 among the most severe levels of food insecurity and getting lower as you move down the severity scale. A similar story for self-reported STIs, although we don't see any association with marginal food insecurity, or food security, excuse me. And finally, these results, which we've mulled over a lot, but we can talk about a little bit later, I'll talk about a little bit later in the discussion. For HIV, we had one positive result, or significant result, which was that low food security was associated with over four times higher odds of HIV seropositivity, but only among men. This is not necessarily something we're expecting based on the literature that's out there around sexual behavior and risky sex. So it's definitely something that we're thinking about. So just to summarize our results, what we found was a strong population-based association between multiple levels of food insecurity and STIs among both men and women, and a preliminary association between low food security and HIV seropositivity, but again, only among men. So I think this raises, for us, two very interesting questions. One is, you know, why do we see such this strong relationship among men? And then second, which I think is a little bit of a different question, why don't we see it among women? So to step back just a little bit, I think that it helps to look at a conceptual framework of why we think these relationships exist in the first place, and kind of linking back to the introduction where we talked about sexual behavior. There's several possible pathways through which food insecurity is hypothesized to affect HIV acquisition, and this is adapted from a conceptual framework that Sherry Weiser and colleagues created that links food insecurity and HIV through nutritional pathways, mental health pathways, but primarily behavioral pathways. I mean, that's really the story that we can tell sort of based on the literature that's out there already. So, for example, people who are food insecure may have to use risky sex as a coping mechanism, for example, through sex exchange, or if they have low sexual relationship power, may be in a position where they don't feel like they can negotiate condom use or get out of a relationship that isn't healthy for them. I think you saw there were associations between food insecurity and sexual victimization, for example. However, most of the evidence that we have that really kind of tease out these pathways, especially through qualitative research, really focus on women and kind of the intersections between gender inequality, disempowerment, and how that interacts with food insecurity to then put women in these kind of risky situations that then may result in increased STI and HIV risk. But most of this research has been done, as I said, in sub-Saharan Africa. And there really hasn't been any work looking at this in the United States or in similar contexts, where the epidemic is really quite different and where we know that men who have sex with men are at very high risk for HIV, sort of constitute the majority of men with HIV, and particularly MSM of color. And so instead of thinking about a mechanism that's really about kind of gender disempowerment as women's disempowerment, we can think about kind of the overlapping stigmas and discriminations about sexuality, race, gender, and how that may combine with food insecurity. But we still don't actually really know. We weren't able to look at sexuality in this study. So that's going to be an important next step for us. So we had a lot of limitations. I think what I wanted to say about women is that we don't necessarily think that the lack of result on women is necessarily due to a lack of a real association, but we just really may have a numerical problem. There's very low prevalence, and there's a limited statistical reliability, even with the big number of observations we had, to really detect that effect. So we can't prove it, but just based on the literature that's out there, that's kind of what we're thinking. We had sort of an inadequate control for substance use. We're working on that. The self-reported STIs, there was a lot of missing observations, but again, that just highlights the importance of using those objective measures. And as always, cross-sectional design really limits causal inference, so this is an associational study. So just in conclusion, you know, I think these results imply that food insecurity, you know, together with what we know about the behavioral mechanisms, may play an important role in increasing the risk of STIs and HIV. And really that consistent access to food and improving funding for safety net programs, you know, such as those that we heard about today already, may contribute to HIV prevention. And I wanted to say that I don't know if everybody's been sort of following the controversies over SNAP, but, you know, there was just a drop in SNAP benefits on Friday by, like, I don't know, 30% or something pretty major. And, you know, deeper cuts are being considered. And so that can really impact people living with HIV, but also might impact HIV prevention. So we really need to be working on these issues and raising visibility in rooms like this. Thank you.
Thank you, Karthika.